Well, as promised, last week I mentioned, kind of gave you kind of the message the Lord wanted me to give. It's called Increasing Your Appetite. There's been a pretty big stirring in this church and just a hunger and a thirst for the Lord. You know, it's like I want to run with the momentum. It's like I want to continue on. I don't want to just wait for the next camp meeting. I don't want to just wait for the next revival meeting. I don't want to wait just for the next thing, some future date. I want to be excited about the Lord now. I want to start running my race good right now. It's like, yeah, I'm doing things for the Lord, but there's a difference when that's just that you can't get enough of the Lord kind of thing. You know, that's revival to me. It's like, man, I want to eat, sleep, and breathe God. It's like when I first got saved, I remember it's like it was completely new to me that every thought I had, everything someone said to me, I would like check with God about it. Oh, is that, what should I do? What should I say back? You know, it's like everything was just, I was so God focused on everything that was coming in and everything that was going out of me. It was just an awareness of God in everything. So it's like, I want to come back to, because, you know, we get to things in our lives where it's like, we kind of check God out. It's like, all right, God, I'm going to do this now. You can kind of take a back seat here. This isn't really something you need to be involved in, per se. You know, our entertainment, our hobbies, our this or that. You know, when I do ministry, yeah, you know, come and, you know, move strong. When I'm giving a word, when I'm being encouraged, when I'm loving people. But when I'm not, when I'm doing other trivial things, we call them, when I'm working, you know, it's, you know, you can just take a back seat and just kind of, you know, chill, you know. it's kind of how I feel like a lot of us just to kind of handle God these days. It's like, yeah, we're coming excited for church and ministry and this and that, and then everything else, it's me time. You know, I've come to realize I have too much me time. I think, oh, I've been working hard, I just need to go home and chill. It's me time, right? It's this is me time. Show me in the Bible where it talks about me time. Show me, please do. Anytime I see me time, usually I see people sinning in error, in selfish ambition and desire, and getting themselves in a whole world of trouble, getting corrected, rebuked, like. Man, but I just gotta, oh, my me time is so good. My me time without the Lord is so good. What are you saying? What? How does that work? But isn't the God like so good? His presence good? What do you need me time for? Self time? If love is selfless, what do I need me time for? It's like, I realize this society trains us to have this, all right, it's me time. You know, my mom raising a bunch of us, 7 kids, 3 adopted kids at a time, sometimes 2 foster kids. It's like, we had a lot of kids in the house at a time. It's like, sometimes my mom's just like, all right, I need me time. All right, guys, you go play. I'm not here. I don't need to entertain you. You just go entertain yourself. Me time. I'm going to get in a bath, bubbly bath. And that's all right, me time. Exactly. You needed that. That was your intercessory time to get you through the rest. hallelujah. But we do not need me time away from the Lord. If it's me time, call it me and Jesus time. It's like I was hanging out with my wife, I was hanging out with my friends. All right, me and Jesus time. We're just gonna chill here, enjoy each other's company. Just think about some scriptures that he popped in my heart. And, you know, it doesn't have to be some serious, oh God, me and you time. Like, no, just mindful of him, just thinking about the things throughout the day. Being thankful, oh, yeah, that was a cool blessing that someone, you know, someone said something encouraging to me. Oh, thanks. You know, that was pretty cool, God. You know, I think when I first got saved, like, and still today, but I like to revert back to that a lot, just because it was so new to me to have this relationship with God, because I had grown up in church and I didn't have a relationship of God talking back and forth to God. We just had this. You know, that's all we ever did. We just kind of prayed to God and asked him for things, and that was it. You know, it's like, yeah, kind of try to do what's right, what your conscience tells you, you know, not really knowing that that was really the voice of God in me, that he wanted to talk to me more through that. But it was just kind of, you know, typical Christianity of just kind of asking the Lord all the time for stuff. God, I need this. Help me in this. Help me in that. I need this. I need that. Me. You know, instead of just, oh, hello, God. Hey, how you doing today? Hey, thanks. Thanks for this. Thanks for that. Oh, it's, you know, I'm so glad you sent my parents. I'm so glad I got friends. Also, thanks for the vehicle. I really like that vehicle. Thanks for this. You know, just, oh, what you up to today, God? You know, it's like when I first got saved, it was like a whole different, I actually had conversations and I laughed with the Lord. That was something that was strange to me. It's like he told jokes to me. He made me laugh. I'd be sitting going to bed and I'm just like cracking up in bed. I'm like, this can't be happening. Like, what is going on? I'm just laughing with the Lord. He's funny. And I was just like, this is awesome. So I want to get back to, it's like I have parts of that, I have a lot of that, but I want to get back to where that's more full time. Get rid of this me time. I'm an adult. I need my me time. Just scratch that idea. I need my me and Jesus time all the time. That'll help you. Amen. Just me and Jesus time all the time. Hallelujah. So increasing your appetite, you know, a lot of things that the Lord, whenever he wanted to get something across, he always used analogies. You know, when he was talking to farmers, he would use farming analogies. When he talked to tax collectors, he would use, you know, money analogies. He would always, the physical is basically a reflection of how spiritual things work. It all comes from the spirit, at least biblical ways of doing it. So when talking about hunger, I'm going to basically be bringing up how naturally we increase our appetite, how naturally we grow physically, and I want to correlate that with growing and being hungry spiritually. So, I mean, what does it take to grow naturally? You need to eat. You need to have a good diet. You need to exercise. And you need to rest. Those are kind of the three basics for growing up. You know, if you stop feeding your kid and just don't give them any food, what's going to happen? You're going to stint their growth. They're going to peel over. It's like, I need energy, you know. Unless they get that, they're not going to grow up, you know. It's like, I want to be mature in the Lord. I keep saying this over and over. It's like, I'm done. I don't want to be drinking the milk of the word, you know, like babes. I want to be eating steak full meals. I want to be sustained in the Lord and grow to be mature and more mature and more mature and more wise in the Lord. So to do that, we're going to need to increase our appetite. But the thing is, bigger food is a little harder to chew, a little harder to swallow. You think, The Bible says the word is profitable for instruction, correction, and rebuke. I don't want you, but those are actually three very good things. You think, well, I don't like rebuke. I don't like correction. Instructions, it's all right. But the others, I don't want you, but I love being corrected. I don't have enough people in my life that I say that correct me. I'd like to see more of it, to be honest. Yeah. Because why would you need correction? Why? Why would I want correction? Because I'm doing something wrong or I'm doing something inefficient. It's like when I think of when I'm at work, it's like, why is someone going to correct me? Someone that's been doing this for 20 years comes and says, oh, no, change that and do this way. Guess what? I'm going to be like, yes, that's going to help me increase in my profession. I just gained some knowledge and wisdom. Now I can do the job faster and I can do it at better quality. You know, I want to run this life faster for the Lord and in better quality. Amen. I want to be efficient in the Lord. The Bible talks about being able to preach, but he says to effectively share the gospel. There's a difference. Like, you can go out and just blab away and blab and nothing hardly gets done. Just you're being, you know, you're not saying the right things. You're not doing the right things. And just, you're not getting a whole lot done. You're doing a lot of work, but you're not getting a lot accomplished. I remember a story from Keith Moore talking about how we kind of need to, we should always, prep time is important. Preparing yourself. You know, a lot of times, like, there's a task to do. They think of woodcutters. Everyone just goes, grabs their axe, and they're running out there, and they just start, chopping away. But you got this other guy. He picks up his axe. He realizes, this thing needs some sharpening. And he goes over to his grinding stone and just sits down a bit, grinds that. This needs a little bit sharper. Sharpening his axe while these guys are off sweating, working hard. You know, they're putting in a lot of effort. Man, they're going to town, and they're looking at this guy saying, look at this fool. Like, what is he doing? You know, so we're out here busting our butt and you're sitting there sharpening your little axe. Come on, man. Get to work. And this guy's like, nah, that's all right. You'll see. And he's just sharpening his axe. Then he gets up and he says, all right, Lord, now which tree should I go for? Well, these guys just kind of went out and whatever tree they wanted, just go for it. This guy walks around, you know, what tree, Lord? This one? No, not that one. This one. Okay. So he gets, yeah, that's a good tree, Lord. That's the one. That one looks good. As then he starts ready to wind up, and he says, all right, Lord, where should I hit this thing? But right here. All right, this line right here? All right. And he just getting very specific with how the Lord wants to do it, the way he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. You know, you can have the when right, but you can have the what wrong. Or you can have the what right and the when wrong and be completely inefficient or outside of the will of God. It's not where we want to be. We want to take our time, make sure we're at the right place, at the right time, saying the right things. Amen. Not just enough to just show up, even to church. Not just enough to just come up and show up to church. All right, Lord, I'm ready. What did you do to prepare to come here? Because guess what? I don't know about you, but I saw people coming up giving of themselves to bless you guys. If they didn't come in prepared and readying their hearts for this type of thing, they want to come up here. They weren't mindful of the Lord, thinking about the Lord. They want to come up. You guys wouldn't have been blessed and exhorted and edified, right? You have something to offer and to give to the body. Yeah, you don't have to come up here. You can just have conversations and be talking about the Lord, and that could be what the Lord wanted you to do that morning in here. God always has something he wants you to give out and to bless. There's always seed to be sown, but you got to prepare yourselves. You know, sharpen that axe. Get up in the morning with an intent to, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? You know, I'm willing. You know, who can I love today? Show me who you want me to love. Don't just go around, hug you, talk to this person, talk to that person. There might be some very specific God wants you to talk to. And I remember preaching with TZM. Basically, we go out in the streets every morning with a church and train them up how to share Christ with people. And very often, we would come across someone. I came across, I don't know what, I think we were in Baltimore, and it was 4th of July. And, you know, you don't really think about it when you're out there just kind of preaching, just kind of going around talking to people. You don't really think that your steps are, like, super ordered of the Lord. You're just kind of going out, oh, that guy looks nice to talk to, and then you go talk to this thing, talk to this guy. But it kind of changed my mindset that God has your steps ordered. I come up to this guy. He's a city worker, and he's just got one of those little pincher things, picking up trash, just kind of enjoying the fireworks. You know, we're out in the middle of the streets, and, you know, the streets are closed off, and I was just kind of walking around this big downtown area thing. So there's plenty of people. And I just come up to this guy just like everybody else. And I say, hey, I want to let you know God loves you. He's got an awesome plan for your life. And he just drops his jaw and says, nuh-uh. Nuh-uh. I was like, what? What's up? You know, what's up, man? How is that? Nuh-uh. He's like, no, no way. He said, I had set up a gun at home, filled it with bullets, and I was going to blow my brains out this morning, but I said, you know, I just want to go enjoy the fireworks, and when I get home, I'm going to shoot myself in the head. I said, what? It's like, your steps are ordered of the Lord. You never know, you could be bringing life to someone. That's what we have. We have within us the life that someone needs. We have the hope. I just thought, you know, I'm just out preaching to everybody kind of thing, you know? Well, this guy needed that word right then, right then. Or he was probably going to perish and go in hell for eternity. Eternity separated from the God that and the Father that he was supposed to have a relationship with, that I was going to be friends with in heaven. You know, we're all going to be pretty close friends in heaven, you know? It's like, I don't want anyone to miss out. But it took preparation, you know? I was seeking the Lord, you know. I wanted the things of God. And I was mindful of him. And I was just going out doing what he wanted me to do. Just loving this person, loving that person. You can do the exact same thing. Just go around loving everybody you come in contact with. Amen. Amen. You never know. Maybe their last straw. And you just give them the love of God. Just puts them together. Amen. Kind of going all over the place this morning, but whatever. Just talk about prepping yourself. Prepping yourself. We want to be efficient. We want to be teachable. Keep that teachable. If there's one thing I would encourage you, is to maintain a teachable heart. Don't let pride settle in and say, you know what? I've arrived at some place. I know a lot about this subject. No one else really needs to come up and tell me anything else about it. You know, don't step into a lot of situations with your own preferences and your own agendas on how you want to do things, especially when you are under someone. You know, when I think about my service to the pastors here, it's like there's a lot of times where my flesh has a preference, where I have my own agenda that I think is better than theirs. But guess what? I got to watch against stuff like that. Because I came to serve and to help them fulfill the call of God for their life and for their ministry, basically. I'm here to support and uplift. If I'm here going against the grain, why am I even here? If I'm not helping, if I'm hindering them, what am I doing? You know, we have loving, teachable pastors who their heart, it's the heart that matters. Their heart is to do what is right before the Lord. That doesn't mean they always do it. That doesn't mean they always get everything right. But guess what? Their heart is to do what's right. That I know. Anybody that knows them knows that they're doing their best to do what the Spirit says. What is our role? What are we supposed to do in that? It's like we see that heart. We know they're just trying to do it well. We're here to call to support and uplift and help fulfill the ministry that God gave them. You know, the Bible says, submit yourselves one to another. You know, I want to talk about some grown-up stuff here. A lot of people don't like that word submission. They don't like that I have to submit myself. I don't see that in the Bible. Well, let me tell you, you didn't read the Bible very much. I'm just going to tell you. You look at all the prophets and Moses and this person and that person, man, it's like God put them over a group of people. You will always have a man over you in your job place, in chances are in ministry, your household. It's like God always will have a man over you. And you think, well, what if that man's not a godly man? Well, guess what? Did God call you to that place? Did God call you to work there? Did God call me here at this church? I know he did. So it doesn't matter. They could disrespect me and spit in my face, you know what I would say? What can I do to help? It's like a lot of people would say, oh, that's bleep wrong. They'd start gossiping and complaining about people, you know, about them behind their back and this and that. I would go to in prayer for them, you know. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them understanding. You know, help them. It's like, I don't ever want to be the person where if God tells them to do something and they're afraid to do it because of how I might react to it, how I might go and gossip behind their back and backstab them and start an uprising, I don't want to be that type of person. I want to be someone who's faithful, who's forgiving, who is submissive, who is a servant heart. If you're going to serve here, do it with a servant's heart. And if they mess up, pray for the leadership. Pray for your leaders. Forgive them. And just ask God to intervene. You know, if they're doing things that you don't say agree with or you don't think are right, that's the time to pray. Lord, give them wisdom. You know, I think you're showing me this. You know, but I'm not you didn't put me in charge. There's a reason they're in charge and I'm not, right? If God wanted you to make the decisions, wanted you to lead things, he would have put you in charge of it, but he didn't. He put someone else. So if you're going to be here, submit and serve and put yourself under that. That's where the blessing is. You try to be in rebellion to who God put over you and serve God at the same time, doesn't work. I've seen people try to do it. They say, well, I just serve God and the Holy Spirit, but I don't serve his, but I'm not going to serve this minister that God placed over it. You don't get it. God, the Father, is the commanding officer. He's like the top dog. He is El Capitan, you know, he is the general, and he places whoever he wants to be in charge. If he wants to place a lieutenant, a corporal over this body, then guess what? If you would go against that corporal, you are going against that general. If you want to speak out and complain against, you know, you look at the Bible, you see this in the Israelites all the time. They constantly complained and were rebelling against the prophets. And what would happen every time? They'd be in captivity for 400 years. Their city would get wiped out and they'd be scattered abroad. And it's like, what happened? Every time, they were always rebelling against leadership. They always thought they knew the better way. They always thought they knew the better thing to do. Nope. Every time. And a lot of times, what also went in line with that is they would stop remembering the things that God did for them. They stopped being grateful and thankful and remembering the things that the Lord had done for them. And all of a sudden, now they start to want to do it in the flesh and they start getting fearful. You know, it's like God just delivered them from Egypt, you know, with all these crazy, the frogs and the hail and the, you know, all this amazing things of signs of power and demonstration. And then they get to the river. Oh, God came. God wants to kill us now. So it's like, come on. Didn't you see all the stuff God just did for you and delivered you? And they sit there whining, complaining that their intention was to kill them, bring them out from the captivity, just to bring them in front of a river and be slaughtered. Like, have faith in God. Have faith in your leadership. Have faith in what God is doing, who he's placed over you. The biggest thing is find out if God called you here, then you know that he called them over you. That's a very important, because a lot of people just don't put two and two together like that. If God has called me here, then he knows exactly who's the top dog, who he put in charge over it. And so when whatever they say goes. That's just how it works. And you don't leave until you get new orders. You know, it's like, I think if they were to, not saying this ever would, but if they were to treat me like dirt and say, start bad-mouthing me, I could really care less. Yeah, that would kind of hurt me, but that would not drive me away from this place. You know why? Because I know God said to come here. And I'm not leaving until God tells me to move on, unless he calls me to a new place. That is maturity. That is not, don't take offense at things. You know, babies get offended real easy. You take away their toy and they're, wah! Wah! You know, you do anything that is like discomforting or just anything, it just, wow, they throw a temper tantrum. If that's you, get out of the baby stage. If leadership says something to you that you just think is so offensive, just get over it. Get over it. If your neighbor says something to you that's just, oh, I can't believe they said that. Oh, get over it. You're going to sit there and pout and have a little tension tantrum? No, what would love do? What would Christ do? Forgive them. They know not what they do. Pray for them. God, you're going to turn this around, man. You're just going to, they're going to be the most loving, but they're going to start saying nice and kind things to me. Right? You know? I mean, let's get to the real thing. That's like some mature things. Like, I don't want to be a baby. I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to throw temper tantrums. I don't want to be talking behind people's back. You know, I want to be mature in the Lord. A couple months ago, I gave a sermon that kind of ties into this increasing your appetite called the maturity of wisdom. And it's like, how do you determine your spiritual maturity, where you're at? You know, it's good to self-reflect and see where are you. You know, it's like, stop looking at other people. I know whenever it's like I get this when people are preaching, it's like I'll just start thinking about other people. And I'll be like, no. Think about me. I'll instantly, because my flesh wants to go and think and judge people. My flesh, you know, it longs to do that. It's like, oh, yeah, this person can really use that message. This person could really, oh, yeah, I know a person just for this message. Yeah. Then I got to smack myself and be like, no, me, what can I get out of this? Oh, yeah, I'm not doing that. Man, what a hypocrite, you know, sitting here trying to judge other people. While I got a log in my eye, you know, it's like I've done that in the past. Well, maybe they just haven't learned it yet. It's like you cannot judge without being a hypocrite. You can't judge without being a hypocrite because guess what? You've been there and you've done that, or you're going to be there and done that. Your sin is not any less than anybody else's. Sin is sin. We try to put it on this grand scale of this is a baby sin, this is a mediocre sin, this is like the top sin. Man, if you do this, you're an awful human being. And then it's like, you kidding? Well, it says if I lust after a woman, I've like committed adultery. Like, you kidding me? They're like that? I'm like right up there with someone that actually did the physical act, because everything you do in your heart first. The natural fleshly doing of the thing is just an inward, shows what you have in your heart. Something that's just, the Bible says God judges you on your heart. You know, if you don't even have to do the act of adultery, you can just think it and you have already committed it to the Lord. But the same is also in the positive. Say you really wanted to bless, you know, you heard a need, and you're just like, man, if I had that money, I would so give them right now. You know, God will reward you for that heart as if you actually did it, because that was your heart. You think, no, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. No, you look, there are instances in the Bible where trying to remember, they were like back to back of one negative one and one positive one, where basically, I think God asked someone to do something, and they said, "Yeah, Lord, yeah, I'll do that," and it was, you know, yeah, he's gonna do it. Ended up not doing it. It's like, you know, it's just false. You know, why say you're doing do something and then don't do it? But the other guy said, no, I don't want to do that. You know, that's just, no thanks. But then he ended up doing it. It's like God judges the heart of a man. You know, we need to follow our hearts and what our heart tells us to do. You know, be sensitive to that Holy Spirit, that unction in your spirit. So how does one kind of determine their spiritual maturity? What do you guys think? Is it time? Are there old people that are not spiritually mature? Yeah, time, age doesn't mean squat diddly, right? When it comes to spiritual things. Position in the church or workplace? How much money you have? No, not really. How many scriptures they know? Oh, does that make you spiritually mature? Because I know a lot of people using scriptures as weapons to hurt other people. I see plenty of that. Using it and bending it and twisting it to just whatever they want, whatever selfish desire to kind of justify that God's on their side. Nope, that don't really work either. Just knowing scriptures don't make you mature in the Lord. How long they spend in prayer and the Word of God each day. Nope, that helps. That can help for sure, but that doesn't really determine. How many sins they commit a day on average. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that might. What scale or standard do we use to kind of judge ourselves? That we're allowed to do, judge ourselves. This is something that is encouraged by the Lord, not in a negative way, but to judge and see that we're not lying to ourselves and being real and truthful and honest with ourselves. Love is the standard and the only accurate measuring stick for spiritual maturity. What is love? What is love, baby? No. What is love? You all grown up in the church probably many years. Love is selfless. Anything that has to do with blessing someone else, not getting your own way, serving someone else. Anytime it's me, chances are there's not love involved in it. So just ask yourself, does a spiritually mature person burst out in anger more often than they do in joy? Probably not. Does a spiritually mature person spread rumors and badmouth others? No, they're going to edify and encourage and uplift. So kind of determine for yourself, are you doing these things more often than you're doing the other? You know, it's a good way to tell. Does a spiritually mature person boast about themselves more than God? Does a spiritually mature person consume their time with worldly things more than godly things? Does a spiritually mature person tear people down more often than building them up? The bottom line is, love God and love people, and you'll begin to grow spiritually. Put God and other people above your own stuff. You know, a lot of people think that they have a sin issue. I have a sin issue. You know, I just can't seem to, you know, it's like I'm going to church, I'm trying to do this and that, just but the sin stuff. I'll tell you, you don't have a sin issue. What you have is a weak spirit issue. Your spirit man is starved. If you find yourself operating in the flesh a lot, it directly corresponds to how strong or weak your spirit man is. So if I'm like operating the flesh like 90% of my percent of the time, my spirit man is basically at a 10% level of strength and alertness and, you know, of being built up. So don't always think about, man, I just can't stop, you know, sinning and just having issues with that. Really, the root of your issue is just that you're not developing your spirit. You're not feeding your spirit man enough. So what we need to do is we need to increase our appetite for the Lord. And once we start increasing our appetite, we'll have the energy to start working out and starting to work in love. Love is work. Love is action. Love is not some just a feeling. It is actual action. When you're loving someone, what are you doing? You're saying something good for them. You're doing something for them. You're encouraging. You're actually saying and doing things for people. That is what love is an action. Just like faith is an action. You need to step out to be in faith. Dead love and dead faith is just believing in those things, but not doing anything and not acting upon love, not acting upon faith. That's dead love. That's dead faith. But we want to be active. We need to begin to start feeding our spirits so that we can have a strong inner man. You know, if we were to say, I want to be a strong bodybuilder, what natural things do I need to do? I need to eat a lot. Why do I need to eat a lot? Because I'm going to be burning up that energy working out. It's like I have found, you know, I kind of work in construction, so a lot of times I'm super busy, and then sometimes I'll be, for long periods of time, I'll be unbusy. Then I'll be really busy at a time, and then I'll be unbusy. And I have found that when I am home and just unbusy, just killing time, I don't have near the appetite I have when I'm working. It's like when I'm working, come 9 o'clock, my stomach's like, feed me. I need more energy. I need food. I need a burst of energy just to keep going. But I mean, by 9 o'clock, I like ate breakfast at like 7, and by 9, I'm like starving, like, give me some food. My body is crying out for like, give me food. I need power. I need power. Well, your spirit man does the same thing. It cries out in hunger, says, I need food. I need daily food. And a lot of times we starve our spirits and we just think nothing of it. We think, well, you know, it's like we don't correspond it like our flesh to our spirit. It's like if I want to be strong and begin to grow muscle and mass and begin working, I need a good, steady, consistent, healthy diet. Operating in the flesh is just like eating junk food. It's more toxic than it is helpful. It's just like, you get a quick little sugar high, and then you're like, ugh, all right, you get the crash, right? I see a lot of crashing going on in the body of Christ. Just this roller coaster ride of just, whoo, I'm for the Lord, and then, super excited for the Lord, unexcited for the Lord, super excited for the Lord, unexcited for the Lord. It's like, what's going on? What's going on here? It's like you started to feed your spirit and it was like got started getting pumped up and started to work out and love and it was starting to do some things and you just, all right, got busy and distracted with other things and then just it dies off and then your flesh starts to rise up and then it's having its field day and it's starting to get depressed and it's starting to get angry and it's starting to get fearful and it's starting to get anxious and it's starting to get stressed out. If you're dealing with stress, any of those symptoms, it is because your spirit man is not being fed. It is not being fed or it's not being worked out. It is not operating and working in love towards others. Maybe it doesn't have enough energy to do so or you're just not doing it. So think of it like that. It's like, man, I want to start being mature and grown up in the Lord. I'm going to need to start being consistent in my diet. Consistent.
Austin's talking about keeping your appetite and what does that look like in the physical. Reading your Bible isn't enough. I mean, it gets you yourself in with the Lord and hearing his voice and stuff like that. But for me, what it is actually acting it out. Walking in love towards people. What does that look like? Well, a scenario I have is I was at work and it was just a normal day. I wasn't in prayer. I wasn't in worship. I left work and a lady about my size was trying to get a gentleman out of a car. And it just was like, it looked like she was struggling. So I just went over. I said, do you need some help? And she's like, actually, yes, could you? So I helped the gentleman out. I didn't say anything about God. I didn't say anything about Jesus. But let me tell you, I was on a high. I was like, all right, who's this? What do you want me to do next? And we need to start seeing some of these things. We need to start. That's what gets your flesh under, is when you're doing things for other people. And so, you know, you do something like that, then something else shows up, and you do that. And then the next thing, and the next thing. And it might be something small, as simple as what I did to help this gentleman. That there was, like, no, they were grateful, but there was nothing else to that. I just helped him out, and I said, have a great day. And I went, and I was so, like, my spirit was, like, soaring. I mean, I felt like I could fly. But there was no interaction of Jesus or God in that conversation. But it's stuff like that that we walk out in love, and we're doing things for people, and it's then we're looking for it. And then we do the next thing, and then the next thing. And then, you know, maybe you're not bold in praying for people quite yet. Well, you're going to get there. And that's what's increasing your appetite, is doing the things for God in the natural. And so, yes, we need our quiet time with God. Yes, we need to stay in worship. But it goes further than just doing that stuff at home and just letting it settle. Because it just doesn't work. You're just going to get dry again. So it's taking the word, things that we learn from Pastor and from Austin or anybody really, and applying it, doing it, walking it out. And you'll start getting hungry again. And it'll start, where's more? Where's more? I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to do more. And your appetite increases.
Yeah, that reminded me of some stuff, other more stuff, Laura, when you say, church is not enough. If you are using this as your... this is where you come to get fed, and basically that's kind of it. Clearly, that doesn't work out for you naturally. Just, oh, I'm so weak. Oh, when's the last time you ate? Oh, last week. What?
Come on.
What do you mean last week? Why are you waiting until now? Now's the designated time to come fill up. This is what people do spiritually, and it's crazy. It's absurd to think that you can walk in love throughout the week and only partake of God once a week, twice a week. That's crazy. Crazy talk. Man, it is... How many meals do you eat a day? 3 times a day or more. Yeah, I throw in some snacks, man. I eat consistently just throughout the day. You have to do that if you want to really be someone that stays in love. Yeah, I mean, you have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And you see the result of people that do, and you see the result of people that aren't. Why are they so fleshy today? Chances are they haven't been feeding their spirit and working out in love for the last couple of days. You know, it's been a while since their last feeding. So don't go and try to beat them up. Try to feed them. Encourage them. Do something nice for them. Be like, someone just did something loving for me. That's going to make them want to do something loving for somebody else and start to get... Man, God, I haven't talked to you for a little bit. Man, what's up with that? I've just been busy, you know? It's like just keeping God in remembrance, just, man, just constantly on the brain is going to help you. Hallelujah. I had something else. Yeah. You know, God doesn't want us getting backed up and clogged. It's about to get real. Constipation is not of the Lord. He wants to get things in you and through you. Amen. A lot of us try to hold on to the things. Oh, God gave me a word and I just felt like I should give it, but... Oh, it just sounds like you're constipated. Oh, I don't know if I can give it. Oh, it's like, oh, too much fun here. get clogged up with the things of the Lord. Be generous. Be a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love is a gift, a constant just gift. No strings attached. Don't do things for manipulation, for you to use as later ammo for somebody, for you to blackmail somebody. That's not a gift. That's anybody's received something for somebody and they just gave it to you so that later they could say, remember I gave you that? Can't you help me with this now? It's like, oh, I see what's going on here. Don't be that kind of giver. Anytime you're going to give something, give it with no strings. Expect nothing back in return. Don't bring it up later for future use and say, but I did this for you. No, not a good way to do it. Just keep it, oh, man, I did that for you. I wish they would, you know, being kind and do in return. But, you know, keep that to yourself and just pray for them. Lord, give them a generous heart. Don't bring that back and shove it in their face. No one likes that. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want to be constipated in the Lord. Freely receive, freely give. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. What time am I at, honey? Oh my goodness, man. Time flies up here. I am not a talker, but yet I can come up here and just talk and talk and talk. Y'all like, be quiet already. We want to go home. Y'all don't want to go home, right? Y'all love this, right? This is good stuff. This is going to help you. Amen. Well, I got to read some scriptures. I can't come up here and just blab without reading a bunch of some scriptures here. Amen. Man. So kind of to base off what I'm going off, what I've been saying here. Galatians 5:13 through 26 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And it goes to talk about walking in the Spirit. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." See, you don't have a sin issue. You have a weak spirit issue that isn't fed and worked out. Your flesh is just overpowering your spirit at the moment, but that can change. You can change that instantly. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." You know, a lot of people will get confused at this and say, but I do some of those things. I just recently had a contention. I just was recently jealous over somebody. Does that mean I'm not going to inherit the kingdom of God? I lost my salvation? No. Listen closely to what term that he uses. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice that word practice. What does that mean? Practice is someone who is intentionally doing that same thing to get better at it. When I practice something in sports, I just repeat and repeat and fine-tune and correct, and then repeat, 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 fine-tune, correct, until I get really good at it. Most of you, I say probably all of you, aren't doing sin saying, yeah, I'm going to do it again and again and again, fine-tune a bit and get even better at sinning again and again and again. Is that your heart? No, that's not your heart. If that's your heart, then yeah, chances are you're not really in salvation. If you're just, you know, I look around at people that it's like, yeah, I do things in the flesh and I have weak moments, but my heart isn't to sin and get good at sinning. I mess up and I sin. If that's your heart where, I messed up and I sinned, you don't have to worry about, you didn't lose your salvation, okay? It's just a flesh moment. You know, that's not something you're practicing and going to go to hell for just because you messed up. You know, it's the heart. God judges the heart. Amen. Yeah, thank goodness, right? Man, that'd be awful. It's just, I sinned, now I'm going to hell. Oh, repent. Okay, now I'm going to heaven. Oh, I sinned, now I'm going to hell. I need to, you know, that's just, that would be very complicated and stressful and fearful that, man, I might end up going to hell if I just mess up at the last second. I could live a really good life and then just blow it right at the end. No, that's not how God has set it up. That's not how God set it up. That would, man, what? How tormenting that would be to think I could mess up the love of God so easily, to mess up what he did on the cross so easily, you know? It's not easy. It takes a willful, intentional heart to just sin and want to sin to really break that connection from God and become unsaved again. It would take quite a bit of just hating God and hating everyone else. So, yep, I'm going to wrap it up. So, hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, we just ask for an increased appetite. We know that's going to come from us pursuing. Lord, you said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Lord, we have a well inside of us that you said we can draw from. We need to make the initial action. You supply the power and the grace and the ability to love. We just need to draw close to it in faith. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We are going to go out and love like we haven't loved before, Lord. We are going to be kind, respectful, gentle, meek, humble, and patient with others. Father, we just speak these things out. Lord, we are going to be givers, givers of your love, givers of our finances, givers, Lord, of everything that you've given us that is good and wholesome. Father, help us throughout the week. Give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, Lord, that we can walk in your ways and be effective for the kingdom of God and promote your gospel and your kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for the testimonies, Lord, for the things you're doing in people's lives, Lord, for the healings that have taken place today, for the vehicles that have been given away. Father, you are good and you know everything we have need of. You are our awesome provider, our awesome protector, and we love you. Father, be blessed as we go throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.